one.
Chair, I've been here since before 9, so I haven't recently joined. I don't know if someone else has.
Okay. We're still short to one.
Ms. Tafani is Ms. Ezeka joining. We can start. Just give me two members. John Shepherdson, we can start.
Okay. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning to our invitees to this meeting. Can we please colleagues reflect the agenda?
Morning, Chair. Can you see the agenda?
Yes. Take it up. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all of you to this meeting and invite you to observe a moment of silence for meditation or prayer. Thank you very much. Can we get the apologies, Kolisa?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members, and to our guest. I've received an apology from the Minister of Human Settlements and the Deputy Minister. And I also received an apology from the acting DG, but I see that she just joined. Dr. Khumalo is on a bereavement leave, so she will not be able to join us, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again,
The hand from acting DG.
Okay. DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning. I am here, Chairperson.
Recording
I just
in
want
progress.
To register if there is a need. I might excuse myself because we are presenting in cabinet this morning, but I will stay in this meeting until we are called for our item. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Acting DG. The agenda for today, honorable members, we will be dealing with the outstanding issue on the matter of petition that we received and they were supposed to be the work that was supposed to be done by both the national and province of Western Cape. And then in the last meeting we have outstanding. We have not actually finished the agenda, so we have added to.
Chairperson, I can't hear you. I'm not sure if you are audible to other participants.
Can members indicate that I'm audible or not? Because we have got load shedding.
Yeah, you're audible now, chairperson, but there was a gap, but we can hear you now.
Oh, because I put it at my gadget on the mouse. So you are audible, Chair. Okay, thank you very much. I was saying that there was an outstanding matter on the petition, the Brede Valley petition. So we have invited the department and the province of Western Cape to come and update us on the progress, and then we'll then look at the reports that we had supposed to have adopted in other meeting, which we couldn't finish because of time. And then there is again the minutes that members could not support, and we said the minutes must come back to the meeting. Those are the issues. Can I then move for the adoption of the agenda?
I move for the adoption of the agenda, Chair.
Sefai moves for the Honorable Sefai moves for the adoption of the agenda. Can I get the seconder? Honorable, thank you, second. Thank you very much. I'll then invite the National Department to open this discussion on the Brede Valley petition, Acting DG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues, good morning. Chairperson, I'm accompanied by DDG Cheney and the team from our IGR, Mr. Chose and Ms. Matonsi. We've got our PLO, Ms. Masimula, and DM's office, Ms. Mde, and Mr. Tundu from DG's office, Mr. Kraba, and Ms. Nevonde. The camera now, and Chairperson. The background on this matter, goes back to 2020, where Mr. Mangali, who is a ward councillor of Ward 16 in Brede Valley, as well as Temba near Worcester, submitted a petition to the Office of the Deputy Minister, Honorable Chwete, and this was in January 2020. In the main, the petition was requesting the Deputy Minister and National Department to intervene in what was termed as the councillor's slow pace of development in a project called New Mandela Square, where 652 IRDP projects were involved. Immediately, the Deputy Minister assigned officials to visit the community and involve the municipality and the provincial Department of Human Settlements. The IGR meeting then took place between the national province and the municipality in February 2020. And during this meeting, the province was requested to provide necessary background to the project and identify areas of support from the national department in order to unlock potential delays The matter was also sent to the portfolio committee, Chairperson, as you have indicated, to the then portfolio committee of human settlements, water and sanitation. And in July 2020, the matter was tabled by the complainant to the committee. And the deputy minister's visit that was planned for March 2021 could not succeed because at that time we had the lockdown. However, in May 2021, the deputy minister met with the MEC and the Breda Valley mayor to discuss the progress. The last meeting of our IGR was in July 2022, where the province and the municipality were providing progress to date. The status that we have at the moment is that, according to the province and the municipalities, this project has been elevated to the status of catalytic project, and it is now expected to yield 8,000 units in total, and this is now much higher than what was anticipated. And currently, there are 2,546 sites that have been serviced, and 800 units, of which 190 are in progress. There is the delay that has been experienced in terms of bulk electrical capacity, which requires about 321 million from the Department of Minerals and Energy. Chairperson, I will pause there. Then the Provincial Department of Human Settlements in the Western Cape will then provide the status to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. We'll then invite the Western Cape province. I request that I must switch off my video because there is load shedding here. And if I got cut, honorable members, you must know that there is load shedding here in Acacia Park. So, Western Cape, who's leading us? Is the MEC part of the meeting or the Director General?
Good morning. My name is Camilla August. I'm the Acting Head of Department for the Western Cape Department of Human Settlements. MEC Simmons has submitted an apology. I think that was noted a bit earlier. I'm joined today, Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson, by our Chief Director responsible for this particular region, Pilar Mayasela, our Project Manager, Corey Landsberg, and then we also have in the room our Acting Director Planning and the Planner for that region to provide feedback in terms of progress. I'm going to hand over immediately to our Chief Director, Pilar Mayasela, to present an update. Thank you.
Hello, Chairperson.
Yes, colleague, sir.
My apology from my side, Chairperson. The MEC for the Western Cape submitted an apology for today's meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. The apology will be noted.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Pilar Mayasela, Chief Director responsible for implementation. I'll be taking you through the progress. I am asking Chair.
Just a point of before Chair, sorry for interjection, Chair.
Yeah.
I just wanted to note that some of us count the absence of the MECs. So this is almost the third absence of the MEC in our invite. Thank you, Chair. We note that.
Okay.
And the apologies are accepted.
You were too. Okay. Let's proceed, Chief Director. Please, let's see your faces. You can close the video after. I know if maybe you have the same problem that I'm having of load shedding.
I have turned on my camera, Chair.
Okay, now we can see you. Thank you. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. If I can ask through you, Chair, for the Secretariat to flight the presentation, because I, as a participant, I'm not able to share my screen.
You can share, sister. You are a co-host.
Am I a co-host?
Yes.
It's not allowing me so much. Oh, there we go. Let's see, Chair. Can you confirm, Chair, if the presentation is visible?
Yes, it is. It is. Proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I will not go back to the background, because I think the DG has given us the context to the petition. I will then focus the presentation on the 4 points, which were highlighted primarily in the correspondence to the MEC. Just give a project summary, appointment of an NGO.
Sorry, ma'am. Kholisa, is the petitioner here in the meeting? Also, I forgot.
Yes, Chairperson, he is here.
Okay, all right. No, thank you very much. Proceed, ma'am.
Thanks, Chair. Establishment of the project steering committee, packaging and costing of the project, as well as possible commencement date of construction. Just in terms of the background, the project of the new Mandela Square, comprising of 652 opportunities, consists of two pockets, as can be seen on the photo on the right, and which was serviced as part of the 1,800 Evan development, which was approved for the Breda Valley Municipality. The intention, as per the project application that was submitted by the municipality, is to construct the 652 houses on services that we already, on sites that we already serviced, rather. And as depicted in the layout, this is broken up into two areas. All the development rights are in place for the construction of the 652 houses. The application was submitted by the municipality and considered by the department, and as I've indicated, all the development rights are in place. However, there's been a considerable amount of growth within the settlement, and as such, the project cannot continue to be implemented in the manner in which it was envisaged. As the acting DG indicated, the deputy minister then reached to the province as well as municipality and requested that at an official level we put our heads together to unblock the project following the petition that was submitted. I have just included a GIS analysis to just indicate the settlement's growth. As can be seen on this map, if you look at the new Mandela Square area, which is in green, we've got about 1,871 structures. And this again just confirms that it would not have been possible for us to proceed in the manner in which it was originally envisaged, given the fact that the layout actually makes provision for only 652. And when we did the investigation, we found out that on certain sites, there were double, triple occupancy in some instances, even four structures per F, which is why we've had to then go back to the drawing board to redesign the project. We have indeed had IGR meetings to unblock the project, started in February, as the acting DG has indicated, and following those IGR engagements, I think we took a decision that based on the current realities, we need to repackage the project because we cannot be in a position to go and appoint a contractor and start the construction of the 652 houses given the settlement growth. And following those meetings as a department, we committed to appoint an NGO to, amongst other things, redo the enumeration survey and importantly also set up community structures to ensure active participation and also repackage the project based on the realities. And indeed, the department appointed the NGO on the 16th of February, 2022, and with four key milestones. The first one was just to do the scoping and to just look at the aerial survey. As I've indicated in the previous slide, we are currently sitting with about structures in excess of 1,000 on a layout that's only meant to accommodate 652 housing opportunities. And that milestone has already been completed. The NGO has delivered on that. We have received the report. The second milestone deals with the establishment and formalization of community participation structures. One of the issues that was raised at our IGR meeting was the importance of ensuring that we engage the community, the elected councillors and other structures of the Brede Valley municipality. And that milestone, as indicated in the presentation, is also been completed. And the third milestone, which basically constitutes the bulk of the work that the NGO is doing, is around community-based planning. And what sits within this milestone is the development of livelihood plans, the upgrading plans, the reblocking strategy. As I've indicated, we will have to reblock, we will have to decantation the high occupancy rates on those sites. This particular milestone is still in progress, and the NGO is expected to complete this in end of October, and we will be receiving that report end of October and going through the report end of October. The last one is really still the closeout of the appointment, and the NGO, as per the terms of reference and the contracts we've entered into with themselves, we are planning to close out the project in November. And at that time, we are expecting to get a detailed report that will talk to the reblocking strategy, including the implementation plan, taking into account the realities that I've already alluded to. And then in terms of the establishment of the PSC, a social compact was signed by the municipality and the community structures, and this will form the basis of the implementation going forward. It sets out the roles and the responsibilities, and also it addresses expectations in terms of the development of this project. And there was a general meeting that was held on the 6th of March, 2022. Sorry, I didn't add the year there. And this was to elect PSC representatives. And the election of that PSC committee was overseen by the ward councillor, as well as the MMC for the human settlement at Brede Valley. And the members, or rather the representatives of the PSC, were drawn from the five areas that are affected in terms of this project. And it was agreed that two representatives will be elected from each area. And also the municipal and provincial officials form part of that PSC, which meets on a monthly basis. And these are just the meetings that have been held to date. And I am aware that there are other meetings that the NGO has been having with the local communities, as well as a certain official level, as we seek to unblock and repackage the project to ensure that we get to a stage where we can implement. We will also ask chair and members to touch on the packaging and costing of the project. As indicated, we did an analysis in terms of the GIS, and the settlement has experienced a considerable amount of growth. And as I've indicated, we are talking about in excess of 1,000 odd structures on a layout of 652 stands, if I were to simplify it. So it does require a relocation strategy as a critical component of this, and this work is currently underway, and it would also include the elements of decanting, because we would not be able to take that process, or rather the project, forward without actually creating a space within the project footprint. And the time frame to actually deal with the issue of relocation is that we're expecting that report to be submitted by 31st of October. And it will provide detail in terms of the areas where we could potentially relocate and decant to, and how we would then incrementally deal with the construction aspect of it. On the costing side, the project application was submitted by the municipality for the construction of 652 units at a cost of 86.4 million. And this was based on the 2018-19 quantum. Quantum has since been revised with effect from 1 April, and we will to rephrase the project so that it's in line with the latest quantum. However, we would only be able to do this after we've received the report from the NGO in terms of the relocation strategy, because presumably we'd need to also factor in other aspects in terms of land rehabilitation, given the fact that the sites were highly occupied, and we would need to make sure that we rehabilitate before we construct. But we're just acknowledging that the cost of 86.4 would need to be revised so that it's in line with the latest subsidy quantum. As I've indicated, the application was supported. However, given the current realities on the ground, we would need to make sure that we finalize the report and exactly how we're going to deal with the issue of the decanting and relocation, and further analysis on the profile of the beneficiaries out there, so that we can understand the products that they would qualify for. Because granted, some of the beneficiaries may fall outside the bracket that would qualify for your fully subsidized houses, and we would need to have a solution so that we can respond adequately. In terms of the possible commencement date, Chair and Honourable Members, we're not in a position to confirm that. We are awaiting the final report from the NGO, which will then detail the relocation plan and the reblocking strategy. And that will inform when we're likely to commence on the site where the 652 houses are expected to be developed. And as I've indicated, the NGO will conclude this work in November, and we will submit the final report to the committee, and we would also be available to just come and present the outcomes of the work that is done by the NGO, which would also at that time include the commencement date. I think that's the end, Chairperson. And what we also provided, Chair and Members, was the report, which also highlights the linkages between this specific project and the catalytic project that was referred to by the acting DG in her introductory remarks, which is just opposite, or rather across the new Mandela project. And I'd be happy to take questions on that too. But what I just want to highlight from that report, and I think as the acting DG said, we have reached a stage where we're not able to continue with that project. Whilst we may identify it as a possible decanting area for the beneficiaries from Zwede Themba that would qualify for the different products, we're not able to proceed with that project due to bulk electrical infrastructure challenges. $1 million is required to unlock that, and we've approached the Department of Minerals and Energy, and they committed to fund 48% of the $321 million that's passed. But even there is no firm commitment in terms of the timeline. So the indications are that as and when funding becomes available, then they would release the money to Breede Valley Municipality to proceed. So now the project as it stands, it's kept at 800 units out of the possible 2,546 that could be built, because there's only capacity to electrify 800 units at this stage. And I know that the municipality is doing work to increase that to about 1,400, but that would be the absolute priority and we wouldn't be able to do anything. So I think I'm using this opportunity, Chair and Honourable Members, to also ask perhaps for an intervention as well, just so that we can unblock this project and whether assist the beneficiaries within the broader Brayley municipal areas, including those that qualify from Zwelle Themba, the new Mandela Square project, so that we can move the project and build the house and assist with the decanting process. Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members.
Thank you very much. This presentation, does it represent the municipality of Brede Valley? Or do they have their own presentation?
It was put together in consultation with them, Chair, if I may. I'm not sure if they're online. Okay. Thank you so much, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's give the petitioner, Mr. Councillor.
Mr. Mangali.
Mr. Councillor Mangali, or is no longer a councillor.
Thank you, Chair. I'm still a councillor. You hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Yes, I got a second term. Thank you, Chair.
And congratulations.
My name is Moses Mangali again, Ward Councillor of Ward 16. I'm from Brede Valley Municipality. Chair, let me thank first for the Parliamentary Committee to do a good job, and also appreciate what they did. I hope they can do all this good job around Western Cape, because in informal settlements of the Western Cape, it's a mess. The most municipality keep ignores the informal settlement. So people of some areas of informal settlement, they end up started a forum because of their pain they experience in the informal settlement. Nonetheless, let me zoom in on the presentation. I hear the presentation, but I want to confirm that the NGO is hired. Yes, it's correct. And there was an election of the project steering committee. Yes, but it's only for for the informal settlement, the areas that called Emakwaleni, not Mandela, Aspart, Mvakwa Mangcwaba, next to MPC. Those are the informal settlements. Then there are projects that called 652. That project is for the housing project, the area that called New Mandela. That is a settlement. The area is already formalized. The only thing needed is to build the houses. Since 2018, after that meeting, they promised that they will do a follow-up on that area so that they can register the beneficiaries. Since that time, there is nothing happened on that project. There are two different projects. 1800 is a Transex project. That one is a provincial project. But this one, 652, is a Brede Valley project. they must be not mix those two projects because it's a different project. And we don't see nothing happen. And the PEP, it's busy working on the area. But what PEP did is the same Kayam Nandi 2017 did. So it's where we thought that it's a waste of money. It's a fruitful expenditure because we can't do everything, and waste a lot of money. The money that we waste is the money that we can use to prove or the livelihood of the people that are living in informal settlement. But Chair, it seems that our municipality enjoy to see the people suffering, the poor people suffering. I don't want to say they are playing politics because even the issue of the MEC, that is not part of this meeting. That doesn't mean MEC is busy because it's undermining the process. We know that the MEC is playing political battle here. Because of this word, it's the ANC winning word of the ANC. Now that is why it's doing this. And the majority, not majority, 900% of the people are staying in Mandela. It's the African. So that is why. That is why the municipality and the MEC, they did not care about us. So let me pause there, Chair. Then if there's other question, if I'm allowed to raise, I will listen to them, then I will ask the questions. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Councillor. Honorable members, that was the presentation, and we want to acknowledge the progress that has been made. Can you close your mic? Hey, who is this person? Who can tell her? Can tell her, close your mic. Close your mic. We don't have to hear. Okay, thank you very much. Let me ask members to interact with the presentation. I see the hands of Honorable Mokgotho. Honorable Mokgotho, start.
Thank you, Chairperson. From the presentation, it is stated that to date, the municipality has serviced a total of 1,800 sites and completed 626 top structures. I need clarity. When they say they've completed 626 top structures, what do they mean by that? Do they mean that they have completed building houses? And if my assumption is correct by thinking that these top structures are houses, have they allocated these top structures to the beneficiaries? And another thing which confuses me more now is that the councillor has just stated that these Okay. Let me not mix facts, because here I'm talking about 626 top structures. And then there is another, probably another housing project where about 652 houses were supposed to have been built, and they were supposed to have been built in 2018. But that has not yet been done. So I just want to know what is delaying this project to kickstart. And again, another clarity that I need is with regard to this Kayam Nandi project, which the councillor has just mentioned. If I heard him properly, he said this project has resumed. The impression he created when I was listening to him, he said this project has started a long time ago, but it does not get finished. And the municipality is keeping on pumping money on this project. The municipality is wasting money by repeating the same thing every time. And, you know, there's no progress with regard to this Kayam Nandi project. I want to know the reason why. Why is money being, taxpayers' money being wasted on one project which, you know, does not get finished? And then another question is, like the municipality has stated that they have serviced 1,800 sites. After servicing these 1,800 sites, have they started building houses? Are these sites going to stand there, you know, without any structure or project implemented on them? And then how long are these sites going to stand there if there's no project that has already kickstarted on these 1,800 sites? And then as I was reading the presentation, somewhere in the presentation, it is stated that there is an outstanding evidence to support that all statutory processes have been followed that need to be resolved for the project to be implemented in New Mandela Square Phase 4. So my question is, how long is it going to take the municipality to get this outstanding evidence so that the project could kickstart? Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mokhutu. Honorable Seki, I can see the system has kicked him out. I'm not sure whether he's back.
I've admitted him, Chairperson.
Yes, I'm back. I'm back, Chair.
Okay. All right, Honorable Seki.
Yeah, Chair, I don't know. Today we don't have load shedding, but there seems to be a network challenges. I think the most important person here is the petitioner. And from his input, Chair, seems to see that there is progress, as much as it's not at the level of the expectation. So I think the department, Western Cape, must maybe tell us in response to other areas that the petitioner has identified, what will be the plan of the department. The other issue, Chair, is that the department in the visit to Cape Town to the committee, there's an item that they mentioned that stalls project, which is called business forums or business mafias. I mean, from the process or the report in the manner in which it's been presented, it seems as if it's convincing, and we're not going to experience the issue of forums or business forums stopping the project. the way she explained on how they appointed and the like. But can she confirm that there's local beneficiation in that process? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Turkey. I don't see any other hands. Does it mean only two hands? Okay. Just to check with the Western Cape and the municipality. Is the municipality part of this meeting?
Hello, Chairperson.
Yes.
Remember, the municipality requested the meeting to be rescheduled yesterday, as I have reported to you. They said they wanted, they requested the meeting to be rescheduled because they were not available.
Okay. But how long did we inform them about this meeting? Because the agenda was adopted a long time ago. When did we inform them about this meeting? Call it, sir.
Hello, Chair.
When did we inform them about this meeting? Because the program was adopted a long time ago.
The
maybe let the question should be answered by national department, because after adopting the program, we give them the program. When did they inform the municipality and the province about the issues? Okay, just package it as a question to be responded. The second question is that I heard the presenter talking about the number in being increased in the as they were doing the assessment. Did they do the assessment before they can do the audit, or is it the role of the NGO is even to audit the people that are in those areas? Because obviously, if there is no audit that was made, obviously when people know that the project gets implemented, they'll go and get the space so that they can be counted. The question that I'm having, did we make an audit? Before we start those processes, and whether these people who are staying there, are all of them South Africans, all of them qualify for, don't we have those that are qualified for the other subsidy in the department, like slips and all those things, and I thought we would get that audit to say that in this as we're doing our audit, we find this thousand households, but in this we have these ones that are not qualified for the subsidies. We have these ones that are qualifying for subsidy. We have these ones that are qualifying for flips and all those things, which was going to make the process very simple. And whether the municipality is even intending to avail land,
for those that are not covering up by the project. Can we have a response, Acting DG?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Chose, our IKR director, will respond. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Vosi Chose. From Human Settlements National, IGR. I just put on my camera so that you can see me. I'll switch it off because of network. Chairperson, immediately when the department received the official notification from Parliament and the DDG, Neville Cheney, it did write to our counterparts in the province, official level, from the HOD, as well as the municipality, to inform them about the intention and also requesting their participation in the reports. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, can we get answers for other questions that were raised?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to ask our Director of Planning, our Acting Director of Planning, David Ali, to just give us some information on the NGO that was appointed and the intention for the report that's intended to be completed 9 October. And then our Chief Director responsible for implementation will respond to the questions, the technical questions raised in terms of the two projects. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and members and colleagues. I think from my side, I'll probably touch on the NGO appointment. The Honorable Councillor was correct by saying that there was the previous work done by Kayamandi, and that was based on the premise that the numbers of household and structural count that we're looking at has increased. The scope of work of the current NGO in this space is not to duplicate the exercise done by Kayamandi. The exercise done by Kayamandi is basically technical. And we're trying to bring in softer elements that bring in the community mobilization and participation in the process. That's why the NGO PEP was appointed. Adding to that, it's the process of getting communities involved in the development that involves them is critical to any informal settlement upgrading. When this project was started in 2002, the numbers that we had then were literally less than 1,000. As we speak, the four counts, if you go to the presentation, we see close to 5,000, to be precise. 4,607 structural counts. That's the structure that were counted as at August, end of August. But if you now go zoom into different structures that were counted, there are multiple households within the structure. And from the Kayamandi exercise done early 2018, we can give you the profile of households by name, by the nationalities we had in the report that we can also submit to you. And I think I've covered predominantly what needs to be covered. From the map, we can also supply honorable members with the maps as well, showing the progression of influx into the area ever since we started this project. And the notion mentioned by Ms. Maitela is also noted that the project was all based on the numbers that have been increasing. Thank you, Chair.
That's
Thank you, Chair. If I may respond to Honourable Member Mokgothi's questions on the sites that have been serviced to date and the houses that have been built. The project was approved in 2002, and the Breede Valley Municipality then resolved to break the project up into smaller phases. And over the years, it was then implemented in phases. The 1,800 sites have been serviced as part of that 2002 approval. And the 652 New Mandela project is actually part of that 1,800 sites, which was serviced as part of that resolution, or rather approval, that was granted for the municipality in 2002. And of that 1,800 sites that have been serviced, 626 houses have been built and handed over to qualifying beneficiaries. However, as Mr. Ali has indicated, based on the count when we started the project, we had planned to assist 1,800 families based on the approved layouts. The settlement has grown to about 5,000 structures, and that's primarily one of the reasons after the IGR meeting held last in 2020 and 2021, where it was resolved that we now need to repackage that project, given the influx into the area and the fact that on the serviced stands, the 652 serviced stands where we were supposed to commence with this project, the numbers now have doubled. I think Mr. Ali indicated that in certain instances, on one ERF, you will find that there's about two, three structures, which means that it would be practically impossible to commence with the construction of a top structure on an F where you are sitting with more than one structure. And hence, as part of the work that's done now by the NGO, we've requested them to actually identify decanting spaces and also come up with a reblocking strategy, because it's clear to all of us that we are not going to be able to implement the project in the manner in which it was envisaged, because the sites have been invaded. The municipality in the previous years had also identified, before the numbers increased in terms of the invasion, another area where they had identified as a decanting site, but that too was invaded. So we're sitting with a situation now where on the properties that were serviced as part of the 1,800 project, to where we're supposed to build 652 houses, we're sitting with more than 1,000 structures on that layout. So we do need to decant. We do need to come up with a different strategy so that we can assist and build houses for the people that have been waiting there the longest. The link to the Transex, and the councillor is quite correct. Transex is a catalytic project, and the department is a developer, and we're implementing this in partnership with the municipality. The link to the Transex project is that based on the Kayamandi assessment that was done, we knew we had profiled the beneficiaries, and we know who would qualify for which product. And even there, there's even beneficiaries that earn above 3,500 who would qualify for FLISP. And the Transex project is a mixed-use development which caters for different income bands. And the reason why we're creating that linkage is that given the fact that there isn't any available land within Zweliatam that's available due to the influx and the invasion, it's important for us to unlock the Transex project. Granted, the Transex project was not earmarked to only accommodate the Zweliatamba and New Mandela beneficiaries, because we need to source the beneficiaries from the broader waiting list of the municipality. And that project has got a yield of 8,000. We are putting forward that the fact that we're not able to unlock that project due to the electrical, bulk electrical challenges will then hamper progress even on the 652, because we do need to identify land where we can start decanting and then reblocking so that we can assist the people as part of the 652 project. And then Honorable Member Tiki asked about the construction mafia. Oh, sorry, before I go to Honorable Tiki, Honorable Mokoto also asked about statutory processes. I can confirm that all the statutory processes, development rights are in place. What is just required is for the municipalities to submit to us the records of that. And they will certainly do that. And I've requested the manager responsible for housing to make sure that we get copies, but we would not have been able to commence with installation of services on the 1,800 or build the 626 houses which have been transferred to beneficiaries without those development rights. We're just making a point that for our records, we just need to make sure that those are submitted to the department. Then Honorable Teke asked about the construction mafia and the beneficiation. As part of our procurement and tender process, in actual fact, it's also in line with the 2017 preferential regulations, which have since been ruled unconstitutional. We've made it a condition of tender that when contractors come in, they ensure that the locals benefit, not only in terms of local labor, not only in terms of unskilled labor, but also in terms of the subcontracting work. So that is standard in all of our contract as per the regulations, which have since been ruled unconstitutional. So the locals do benefit through local labor employment and even subcontracting work, and we will continue to ensure that they benefit even post the 2023 deadline that has been set by the Constitutional Court in terms of that ruling. But what we're finding more and more is that you would get the business forum, or rather what we, you know, guising this construction mafia, guising as business forum, and not even part of the steering committees and the conversations that we have, and starting to demand that they be given jobs outside the framework that has been established for that project, to the extent that they even threaten the local subcontractors, even the main contractors. And I think it's a matter that's not only affecting human settlements as a sector, but also other sectors as well, and becoming problematic, because what it's doing now, it's forcing us to actually take the money that was supposed to be spent towards local beneficiation and increasing security costs to ensure that we deliver the much needed service. But in the long and short of it, Honorable Member, is that beneficiation is part and parcel of the work that we do in terms of the construction process. Thank you, Chair. I think I've covered all the questions that were asked. Back to you, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Do you have any questions, members? Honorable Mokoto.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to make a follow-up on this question of mafias. This problem of mafias, if the municipality or the department does not deal with this problem effectively, then it means the Department of Human Settlement will never be able to complete any project, and eventually they won't be able to even start implementing any project because they are stuck with this issue. How are they effectively going to deal with this? Because dealing with this, they must. And then how are they going to, don't they have a strategy? An effective strategy for that matter. They cannot keep on making excuses and excuses. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mokoto. Just to follow up on these issues, I think we should not
move on the line, Chair.
Who?
Mr. Seki.
Oh, Mr. Seki? I don't see the hands, but Mr. Seki?
Yes, Chair. Thank you. No, Chair, I was saying that maybe as you summarize, we could also say we need to get a feedback. This petition, we note the progress of today, but I think it should not be away from our radar. Maybe every quarter, even if we have not invited them, but every quarter we need to be briefed of how far it has gone. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Yes, I wanted to go to the issue of the petition itself. I think we should not miss the gist of the petition itself, because the issue was about this 652 approved projects in 2013, which the money had to be taken back to province on 2017 and 2018. In 2013, the 13.5 was taken back to province by municipality. And then again on 2018 financial year, the money, 80 million, was sent back to the province without implementing this, particularly on the 652 Nelson Mandela project. And now, as you report, now it's been, what do you call it? It's been put as an integrated, what is this term that they use? Whatever. But as we get, because we need a feedback in terms of the project that was approved in 2013 and municipality finalized the beneficiary list. And to date, that project is not implemented. What was the problem? We acknowledge this other work that has been done, but the issue of Nelson Mandela, we have to zoom in on it, Acting DG, and say this project was approved on 2013 for 652 beneficiaries, and the beneficiary list was done by municipality itself, and therefore the money, that money was not spent, was sent back to the province again on 2017-2018 and again on 2018-2019. And therefore the solution should be able actually to resolve on this matter. Why this project is stuck, why this project has not been implemented, and the money constantly been sent back to the province by municipality. And maybe just even to check whether Brede Valley municipality has a, in terms of your record, is it the agent to build houses, why the money was sent to them and not being implemented? Because those are the answers that we need. If it's the Brede Valley municipality was not a contractor, or was a contractor, why the money was sent back? Acting DG.
Hello, Chair.
Yes.
So I hope you're not kissing my hand.
Honorable Powell and Honorable Masuta.
Hi, Chair. Thank you, colleagues, for the presentation. Chairperson, I think that the information that's been provided to us this morning is indicative of the crisis that we face across the country with regards to the impact of land invasions and the deleterious impact that land invasions have on government's ability to unblock and reblock and upgrade informal settlements. And I think that as a committee, this is an issue that we're going to need to deliberate on quite seriously. I did send a request at the beginning of the term asking if the committee can call Minister Kubayi and her team to come and present to us on some of the interventions that the minister and the department are putting in place to stem the tide of illegal land grabs. It's obviously a deeply contentious issue given the unjust land distribution patterns in South Africa and the failure to achieve meaningful land reform in the post-apartheid era. And I think that it's an issue that we as a committee need to apply our minds to with pragmatism and to really make some very firm recommendations nationally on what the department can do from a legislative perspective that will assist governments. Because as we've heard from our colleagues today, when money gets allocated and plans are made, in the interim land invasions take place and it then becomes virtually impossible for municipalities to undertake and operationalize plans that have had budgets allocated. So in a nutshell, my request to you is that we have a deliberation as a committee with the ministry and senior officials from the department on plans in place to once and for all address this ongoing issue. Thank you, Chair.
Hello, Chair.
Honorable Masuta.
Thank you, Chair, and apologies. I joined in a bit late this morning, so I caught proceedings towards the tail end. But I would want to follow up on exactly the point that Honorable Powell has just made, which I think is calling upon all of us to be realistic and to sober up to the realities that we're facing here. And I accept Comrade Putas's point of putting pressure on a department that essentially does not have armed forces, does not have security mandate to actually enforce the law, because what it comes down to is anarchy and lawlessness that eventually impedes what essentially is a delivery of a social program. And that begins to tell you something about, somebody is speaking in the background. I don't know, Chair, somebody's speaking in the background. Maybe they should mute. Anyway, so that we begin
Honorable May. Colleagues, yes. Can you mute the person who's speaking? Honorable Masuta.
Yeah. I mean, for example, I have that experience from Justice where we built a new court for Mamelodi, and the community said when it was 70% complete that
Mr. Masuta, are you still there?
Or you have muted. Unmute you, Honorable Masuta.
Mr. Malima has also hand up, Chairperson.
Mr. Malima, come in as we are waiting for Mr.
Masuta.
Thank you very much, Chair. Also, my apology that I joined.
Mr. Malemaja, we have lost you too.
I'm here.
Okay, proceed.
No. Oh.
Mr. Masuta. Honorable Masuta. Please just mute your mic for now because we can't hear you and get a spot where we can hear you. Honorable Malemaja, can you continue?
Oh, thank you very much. I was saying there are two issues that we need to deal with them in a different way, because if we slap them together, they will meet the issue of the,
so the of the network.
Honorable Masuta, please mute. Call it, can you mute Honorable Masuta and call him that he must get us a better spot?
Okay, Chair, I will. Yes, Chair, okay. I will. All right.
Mute him and ask him to get a better spot, and then we'll give Honorable Malemaja. Honorable Malemaja.
Thank you, Chair. I was saying there are two issues that we must deal with them decisively and differently with two understanding. Of both, they are mafias. If you have the forum as mafia who want to take the project, a mafia. If you have people who are occupying the land or giving land to the people knowing that it's not service, it's also mafias. But at the very same time, we must time and again bear in our mind the cause of the first, I mean of the second one, that is the land hunger that has been caused by the apartheid special leaguers. We must never run away from that, because if we run away, we will forget what makes people to come and invade. As long as in a province such as Western Cape, there was a provision of sites, service sites to be utilized. And up to today, nothing has happened in those service sites. And people are working in the cities. What is it that you expect people to be traveling far away, wherever there's a land there? As African National Congress, we are not condoning the invasion of empty land. But we are saying those are given responsibility to give land to those who need land, to deal with the land hunger. That must happen with the speed. It can't be correct that time and again we're taken to court for unnecessary things, then we come and reason upside down as if we don't necessarily feel the pain of those who are landless. The second one is, as much as we don't have the law enforcement on our side, which nothing stops us to invite them in case these forums are approaching us, because in each and every project, once it has to start, they've had the mutual arrangement or mutual agreement with the nearby police station that be alert that we are working in a different situation where people do come with guns and everything and threats. But if the department is reluctant to utilize such enforcement, will time and again bounce and come and complain that these people are what you call the area. The other aspect is the issue of the formation of the steering committee. That is why I'm consistently saying it must have perception of community project steering committee. It be owned up by the community. So if it is owned up by the community, I don't think there's any person outside that community who will want to come and take things by force and the community fold up its own arms. Chair, I just wanted to throw those two, 3 points, then I say thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malemaja. I don't see any other hands, but just to, I think we should give Councillor the last word, and then we sum up this issue. Councillor, the name Mangaliso. Councillor? is not responding.
Mr. Mangali?
Mangali, yeah. Mangali. Mangali. Mr. Mangali?
Chairperson, he said earlier that they were experiencing load shedding.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. He is here in the meeting, but I will try to call him.
Okay. I think what we should do is to note the progress that has been made. But as we sum up this matter, I think it will be important. Okay, now we can hear you.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I'm struggling with the network here because we experienced load shedding. I hope you hear me clear now, Chair.
Yes, we can hear you. Proceed.
Chair, as much as I didn't hear the other speakers where the time they were speak because of technical problems, some of them I didn't hear because there was no volume, something like that. But Chair, my last remarks is that we can be very happy if the committee can come or the Department of Human Settlement can take this matter serious. Because in those areas we talk about, we have elderly people, disabled people, a lot of different people are staying there. So it's painful when people are used by the municipality, because when they need something, they come to those people and ask them to do that. But now, Chair, we can't sit with the project. The project is not from 2018. That project, it's from 2014, where they're supposed to start. It's 2014. And what they said now, it's not correct. Because if you talk about project 652, it's a project alone of New Mandela Square. You can't mix the project of 331. That one, 331, is the old project that they were built houses by Rainbow Construction at Old Mandela, then finished by the other contractor, Jubilee Construction. 81 houses were finished by Jubilee Construction. Even that one, it's not yet finished. Because you've seen people today that they are waiting for their houses. Some of them, the elderly people, they are dead today. May their soul rest in peace. Because of they are waiting the houses that they were promised on that time. Now, Chair, they promised the community that on 2018 they will build houses from that area, Mandela, New Mandela, 652 houses. So they go and they appoint a contractor called Power Construction. That contractor went to Ivan Park, built houses, other area, a DA area. And then they went to Dorrance. Because it's a DA area, also a DA ward. They went to Dorrance, Orchard, Sand Hill, and built houses on those areas. They stopped for Zwelithemba Themba because Zwelithemba Themba is an ANC area. But I don't want to seem this issue, I'm politicizing this issue. I'm not doing that. I'm just expressing my pain, Chair, because really, Chair, really, it seems now we are playing with people's
I don't know how to put sidlala ngenhlungu yabantu ngoku che. Che, my last remark on this matter, che. The municipality and the province, they must give you, che, a time frame of those things. Because as much as they said on the November, this November, they will get a report from PEP, NGO called PEP. I do understand they will get that report on November, but you can't see any action after that. I promise you that. I know our municipality, how it operates. And there was a good question. I don't know who asked that question of that. How many those 626, if I'm correct, structures are built structures or not? I didn't hear the answer on that because I was waiting for the answer on that so that I can tell you that those 626 structures, they are not houses. It's just formal structure where they put a toilet and a water, electricity, and formalize the place. It's only that. Here, there is a difference between a person who reports, giving a report in that received, looking in that report in front of them because he's sitting on the office, than the person who physically staying there and see the matter. So I'm reporting this because I'm staying here in this ward. And Chair, there is an area called next to MPC. I saw here they mentioned that area. But on the meeting, they told us that area is not part of PEP. The NGO will do a job there. And go further, they said to the people of Emakwaleni, remember those people of Emakwaleni, they stay here for almost 5 years now. They said to them, that is a private land. But when you check, they send the NGO there, they give people false hope. How can you say to them, it's a private land, you can't do nothing? But you send the NGO to go and do a job there. That means you give those people a false hope. You play with the feelings of the people that are looking for help. So, Chair, I really don't understand how this report did... presented to the committee of parliament. They try to make them as they try to make them look like a people that are working knows their job. But I can say here that Chair, some of the information they give you, it's not correct. There's nothing happened on the 652 project. There's nothing happened on the back of MPC. They are just doing only thing PEP is busy on informal settlement. So thank you very much, Chair. I hope, Chair, we will get time frames of those projects when they will start the project because they can't come here and say, we are waiting for the report of PEP. That report is only focused on the informal settlement. What about the 652 project? When that project will start? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor. I think you have raised the issue that I've raised, that the gist of the petition, because you should not cloud the issues. The issue of the petition, it says, I want to read it for members so that
even province can listen, and as we you give us the feedback, the interest would then become on the petition itself. The councillor Moses Molinga said that before contacting the committee, he had emailed his complaint to the province. In his email, he had raised the issue of the project of the new Mandela, which is 652, which had been approved in 2013, and the municipality had completed the beneficiary list for the project in the financial years 2017-18. The municipality has sent back the money, 13.5 million of its housing allocation to the province, which has been set aside for one of the projects. There were other projects that had been approved, but construction was yet to begin. In the 2018-2019 financial year, the municipality had sent back 80 million to the province. This allocation was set aside for housing. This indicated that the municipality was not interested in the serving the poor citizens of the municipality. Referring to the Mandela North project, he said that the people had lived in the informal settlement for the past 16 years. At least 6,000 people lived in the settlement. In 2017-18, the municipality has sent the NPO Kaya Mnandi to assist the settlement. After 6 months, the new NPO had been sent to do the same job that Kaya Mnandi was doing. This had been a waste of finance. He claims that currently no basic services were provided to the citizens in this settlement. The municipality was supposed to budget on these issues as agreed upon in 2012. On Tuesday last week, there had been a council meeting dealing with integrated residential development program matters. And this same point had been mentioned. In the Idle Park, the people had relocated to the new homes. They had done this because there was a crisis there, and the municipality also had not dealt with these matters. So I just wanted to remind members on the petition was about the 652, which the money has been sent back to the province, and we want national to monitor this project, not just cloud everything, and we appreciate the work that has been done. The informal settlement, you have the responsibility. This is your program to upgrade this informal settlement, and if you are upgrading them, it's fine. But this the issue. It's about this 625 houses project, which was approved in 2013, and money has to be sent back to provinces. So I'm just reminding the national that what you need to monitor, and the province have to monitor, is making sure that the petition is around this issue. I think, honourable members, I think what one of the things is that would work on the, as we will be doing the public hearing in Western Cape, would request, will make application to go and visit this area so that we understand what is talking about, what is it that is spoken about, and why the and understand the problem so that we then have the informed decision as we finalize this petition. So thank you very much, province and the municipality, who, even though they've not, they were informed of this meeting, they've not, they decided that we must postpone our meeting because
Is it the...
Sorry, Chair. Yeah, it's my... I was interrupted by network, so the entire network system collapsed because of load shedding, and it's only now that I'm back again. I just want to indicate what happened.
All right, so that's why I'm saying, I'm reminding honorable members about the petition. We're dealing with the petition and the issues that what I was reading was the petition to remind members about what the petitioner has petitioned Parliament to look into. And those other things that members are raising, we have taken note of that, but I'm saying national department, what we've given them to look and monitor and work with the province and assist municipality is on the basis that there's this project which the money had to be taken back for them twice because municipality has not been spending the money on the project. So let me give you the honorable mic.
There are hands.
No, I'm seeing the hands, so honorable Powell.
Okay, thank you.
And as I'm saying that, I'm reminding members of what the petitioned Parliament to do. So what the issues that he raised. So that as we respond to the issues, we focus on what the petitioner. That's why there is this forth and backwards, and there is no progress because we cloud all the issues in the process. I'm going to give it to Honorable Masuta, Honorable Powell, and then Honorable, Acting DG. Honorable Masuta?
No, thanks, Chair. I thought that actually the clouding would have come from the responses that we got. So it's not entirely our fault, Chair, if I may, that issues such as land invasion and so on were brought to the fore. And I think that the comrade from the ANC, I'm not sure, the councillor, who gave a more accurate account, it seems, of what really the issues are, has brought us more in line with the petition, as you have suggested. But that raises concerns, Chair, because we sit here, we understand the department to be only the implementer, but the oversight authority on the implementation of the program, of the programs nationally, and therefore would be able to give us accurate updates and information as to why certain programs are stalled. So unless I misunderstood something along the way, the response that I thought we were getting from the department in explaining why 652 has been delayed related to issues of land invasion and so on. But it does seem as if from the councillor, we are being misled. And if that way, then I think there is a concern because our expectation is and issues of race along provincial lines, then the department must be frank and open with us and not give a different explanation of the cause of the delay with the dog. And I agree with your suggestion that perhaps going to see it for ourselves is a better thing to do. And I'm not sure the department itself
You know, Honorable
my understanding is that
you are cutting some of the words. I'm not sure, maybe the people who are taking notes, they might miss some of the issues that you are raising. You can proceed, but after you, after Honorable Masuta, your network is very bad. I'm suggesting that you should actually write it down and send it to Koleswa so that it can be correctly captured. Honorable Masuta. Honorable Masuta. Koleswa, can you ask me some... Yes,
I suppose load shedding, I just have to give up.
Yes, that's why I'm saying...
Yeah, no, it's fine.
No, I'm suggesting that making your input, listen, Honorable Masuta, as you are making your input in between what you are raising, you got cut, you couldn't capture it. So can I suggest that you write it down, your input, send it to Koleswa for proper recording so that we don't miss some of the issues that you are raising.
I heard it clearly. Okay. I heard every word you said.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So I'll just give up time to speak.
Okay. Well, you got cut. Indeed, you've been affected by the network.
I'm not affected, Chair. I've given up. It's okay. Fine. I'll write.
Honorable Power.
Thanks, Chair. Just a very brief contribution. In this meeting, we have a combination of government officials who are professionals, and we have a combination of members of parliament and the councillor who brought the petition. Now, the members of parliament and the councillor, we are politicians, and we can speak politically amongst one another. But I don't, and I also must just say that I understand that this is an emotional issue, but I don't believe, Chairperson, that it is fair for a councillor or for any party who brings a petition before this committee to allude to or make spurious allegations that any given municipality plans and delivers on those plans on the basis of which political party runs the ward. Now, those allegations that are spurious have been put before this committee, and I ask that we as a committee reject those allegations and that we protect our government officials in this meeting. I also think that it is unfortunate that the councillor potentially missed out on some of the contributions that were made, because as the provincial department explained, and as is the case across the country, the issue here is that this land parcel was invaded. The Irvine themselves are invaded. So a decanting site was then identified, and that too was invaded. And it really goes to the heart of what the bigger issue is here, that until we have systems, legislation, and procedures in place where municipalities can rely on the South African Police Services to act on illegal land invasions and on trespassing, we're going to continue to see this situation across the country. So I just wanted to say that whilst we, you and I and our colleagues are politicians, and we can jostle and we can make political statements to one another, and we can use the floor in the National Assembly as a platform for political debate, I think it's really important that all of us, regardless of our political affiliation, do not make spurious allegations on the conduct of our government officials on the basis of political allegiance. Thank you, Chairperson.
Did you?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Our commitment from National, as we indicated, that Honorable Chwete is is managing this process is that we will continue to work with the province and the municipality and maybe have more IGR meetings so that we can see how the progress is being made at an acceptable pace. The committee has requested us also to look into the delays from 2013 and where also in between funds were sent back to the fiscus and to the reasons why that happened. Because then without addressing also those blockages in full, we might continue to be having the delays in the response of this upgrading of informal settlements. So that is what we will do from the department. And also, Chairperson, I will also highlight the issue of the service sites to the beneficiaries of the title deeds registration. That MINMEC has already approved that service sites should be allocated to beneficiaries, and also the title deeds process should commence. And this will go a long way in assisting the sector against the invasion of service sites. Because once the site has already been allocated to me, I've got a huge interest in that. I'm safeguarding my service site until I get a house. So that's what we need to do, all of us, as a sector, in order to manage that risk. And also with the establishment of the steering committee, which is all inclusive, we should be able to reap the benefits of that steering committee where the communities are participating. So those will be our commitment, Chairperson, going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pichi. I see the hands of
Hello, Chairperson.
I see the hands of is it Mr. or Miss August? I can't pronounce the first name.
Acting HOD Western Cape, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Just to note, thank you for the inputs that have been provided. I would like to perhaps recommend or suggest that the provincial department and the national department be allowed to present how projects migrate onto the business plan and the readiness criteria that need to be applied before projects move through the different gates on the business plan, which should indicate how projects are delayed, what reasons they are delayed for, and give some insight in terms of what projects move forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As I've indicated that as the committee would then visit the area and as we visit, we'll inform all various stakeholders and we engage on them. We'll request the extra day to be in Brede Valley to deal with the matter. Thank you very much for us to be able to close this petition properly. Thank you very much, the HOD from Western Cape and the team from National Acting DG and your team. Thank you very much. Can we then go to the next item? Koliswa.
Chairperson, can I confirm that we are allowed to leave the meeting? Thank you.
Yes, you are. You are. Thank you very much. You are.
Thank you. Have a good day, everybody. Bye.
Bye, and thank you for attending the meeting. Koliswa?
You?
Hello, Chair.
Hello, Chairperson.
Yes, the next item is on the the issues that were raised by public on during the public hearings on service delivery. Members with the Sabelo has circulated the reports of the Eastern Cape, KZN, and Free State. Nessa Bello?
Yes, Chair.
we just want to indicate that how we think we should deal with this matter is that we are going to write the letters to MEC in case of Metro will then write to Metro to give them those issues to attend to, and then and demand the report, the response from them, because we have forms that indicate the name of the complainant and where we can find the complainant. So we'll then send all those issues. We just wanted to say we table these issues in the committee that it becomes part of the agenda. We'll then add the one for Limpopo and Mpumalanga. And then we will then write the letters to all the MECs and the national department on those specific matters and ask them to respond to those issues one by one. And at some point, we will go back and see whether those issues have been dealt with. Because we cannot have a situation where our people raise issues and with us and they end up on the air. It's our responsibility that we would have to take those issues seriously and make sure that those things get attended to and people get feedback on the issues that they've raised with us. So that's...
Chair, it's Honourable Powell. My hand is up. I haven't received the reports from Sabelo. I've just checked my emails again. Carly sent through the presentations for the Western Cape and the notice yesterday, but I haven't received those three reports. So if Sabelo can just indicate where he sent them, they haven't gone out to our parliamentary mailing list.
Okay, they were not sent yesterday. Sorry, Sabelo.
They yes, were not Chair, yesterday.
Before you respond, Sabelo, they were not sent yesterday. They were sent, I can't remember the date, we were supposed to have dealt with them in the meeting, who couldn't finish the agenda, but the report was distributed long time ago, and we even asked members to make input if they think there is any issue that the capturers they've left issues, because they were part of the public hearings, and they didn't receive any indication from members that they've not.
I'm looking at my emails from various committee staff. I haven't received those. All that I've received was the original, the presentations that were given on the progress against unblocking projects. I haven't received reports from Sabelo. So maybe there's an issue. If Sabelo could just clarify what date he sent those out on, and then I can take it offline with him if he's perhaps used the wrong email address for me.
Okay, all right. Sabelo?
Okay. Yes, Chair.
Honorable Powell, the report was sent this year about, I think about 3 weeks ago now. And it might be confusing because it is titled as other human settlement issues emerging from public hearings.
Okay, thank you, Sibella. I'll take it offline with you. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair. So those issues we will structure them properly and write as a way of writing to all the MECs for them to respond on them. We'll then include the Limpopo one. They can circulate it, and Limpopo and Mpumalanga.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So can we then go to the next the minutes that were written? Can we then get members to this minute was tabled in the committee, and there was no Honorable Sek.
Sorry, before you moved, I tried to raise my hand, but
okay.
It was late.
Okay.
On the report to provinces, let me just understand. Sabelo will compile them, send them to us, and send them to the province. Can I understand?
Yes, the one for Free State, KZN, and Eastern Cape, you have those reports. I'm saying you must add Limpopo and
Mpumalanga, Chair.
Mpumalanga. But before he does that, he will then circulate those reports from Mpumalanga and Limpopo, and then members add if there is any issues that the capturers might have left, and then would then send letters to those MECs to attend to those issues.
No, okay, it's clear, Chair.
All right.
I think maybe, like you are saying, if Sabelo send them to us for comments, maybe he can give us a date to say a comment on this date, and then thereafter he circulate them to relevant provinces. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Mokhutu.
I'm just making a request. Can Sabelo state the words and the places where those issues are taking place when he circulates the report? He shouldn't just state issues, you know, a stream of issues without indicating where those issues were taking place. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Sabelo?
Yes, Chair. So the approach that we took in writing these issues was that we give issues broadly, and on those issues we're going to attach the submissions that that were given with those issues. So if you want to go to a specific issue, we've got the submissions that will be attached to those issues.
Can I propose
Sabelo?
Yes, Chair. What you do, as the Honorable Mokhutu suggests, you say, for instance, in Nelson Mandela, Mrs. So and so raised the issue or the crack house based on this number, this is a contact. Because I think we want provinces to go and
go and fix this thing. So they need to have those things, because those attachments, they must not get lost in the process, because it will then become very difficult to locate those people.
Okay, Chair.
All right. Honorable Mokoto?
Chairperson, another thing is that, can he please indicate the ward where a particular issue is has happened or is still occurring? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much. The minutes are on the screen. You had this minutes long time ago, members. Can we get the anybody correct or correction or move for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Mokoto. Honorable Mokoto, your hand is up.
Chairperson, I haven't raised my hand, or is my hand still raised up?
Yeah, probably the legal hand. Drop it. Can I get any second or not second? Because Honorable Mokoto has not raised the hand. The mover for the adoption of the minutes. We still have members, 1, 2, 3.
Chair, just before one moves for the adoption.
No, before we can't even move because we are not even more than 5. It's, or do I miss somebody? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, Miss Mokoto, 5. We needed 6 people. We have lost Mr. Masuta. We have lost Mr. Malachi. Is it correct, Kolisa?
Yes, Chair, Mr. Sky also.
We lost him. Mr. Sky. Oh, okay.
Yes, and Mr. Feni.
We've lost Mr. Feni, Mr. Sky, Ms. Malachi, Mr. Malachi, and Masuta. So we don't have a quorum to adopt the minutes. So the minutes will be standing for the next meeting. Thank you, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Bye-bye.